During certain times of day, my apartment smells like rancid Gouda. Apparently no one else in the building has noticed. I've written 4 letters to Mrs. Schultz, my landlady, but I stopped when I learned she was putting them all in a file folder marked crazy, which I happened to glimpse when I went down to her office to pay my rent. So now, when the smell gets too intense, I just go to the park and play online Go on my laptop. It's October 5, 5:59 p.m. The temperature in the park is roughly 56 degrees. Silence fills my ears. When I listen more deeply, I can hear the sounds woven into it. The dull roar of distant traffic, the shh of leaves in the wind, the whoosh of my own blood through my veins. But no human voices. I pull up the hood of my sweatshirt, which offers the dual advantage of keeping my ears warm while hiding my face, giving me a sense of privacy. All around me, the park is quiet and still, an expanse of sleepy green grass. A few maples have already started to drop their blood-red leaves. Nearby, a small pond glimmers. Anis platyrhynchus glide across the water, and the heads of the males gleam like carved emerald, studded with bright onyx eyes. When they rear up, wings spread, the iridescent blue-black of their speculum feathers catches the light. I glance at the empty bench by the pond and check the time on my cell phone. I am waiting for the boy with the cane. Every day, at precisely 6 o'clock, a boy about my age, perhaps a few years older, emerges from a salmon-colored building across the street, limps to the park, and sits on the bench. Sometimes he reads. Sometimes he just watches the ducks. For the past 3 weeks, this has been his routine. When he first started coming here, I resented his encroachment on my territory. I didn't want to talk to him. I dislike talking to people, but I didn't want to abandon my park either. So I hid. After a while, something shifted. He became a part of the scenery, like the ducks, and his presence ceased to annoy me. The clockwork regularity of his visits became almost comforting. Sure enough, at 6 o'clock, the door opens, and he emerges, looking the same as ever. Slender, pale, and not too tall, with light brown hair that looks like it hasn't been trimmed for some time. His open blue windbreaker flaps in the breeze. I watch him make his way to the bench, leaning on his cane. He sits. I turn away, satisfied. Leaning back against a tree, I open my laptop, prop it against my knees, and start a game of Go with a random opponent. The boy is unaware of my presence. I'm careful to keep it that way. By the time I leave the park, it's almost night. On the way home, I stop at the Quick Mart, grab 2 packages of ramen, a loaf of white bread, a jug of orange soda, and a cellophane-wrapped vanilla cupcake. I buy the same thing every time, so I know exactly how much it costs, $6.97. I count out exact change before approaching the counter and quickly slide the money, along with my purchases, toward the clerk.
"Anything else?"
he asks. I shake my head. My apartment is just down the street. It stands on the corner, a squat brick building with a single scrawny tree out front. A blue condom hangs from one of the topmost branches like a tiny flag. It's been there as long as I can remember. Amber shards of broken glass glitter on the pavement. As I approach the door to the lobby, I freeze. A thin, balding, 40-ish man in round glasses and a sweater vest is waiting for me outside, briefcase at his feet, arms crossed over his chest. "Dr. Bernhardt," I blurt out.
"I'm glad I caught you. I've been buzzing your apartment. I was about to give up."
I clutch my groceries to my chest. "Our meeting is on Wednesday. It's Monday. You're not supposed to be here."
"I needed to reschedule." "I called you several times, but you never answer your phone." "I realize you hate surprises, but that being the case, maybe you should try checking your voicemails now and again."
His tone holds a slant that I've come to identify as wry. Dr. Bernhardt is a social worker. He's also the reason I'm able to live on my own, despite being a minor.
"So,"
he says,
"are you going to let me in?"
I breathe a tense sigh and unlock the door. "Fine." We enter the building and climb the threadbare steps to the second floor. The hallway carpet is a faded shade between beige and blue, with a dark, sprawling stain that could be a spilled drink or dried blood. Like the tree condom, it's been there ever since I moved in. Dr. Bernhard wrinkles his nose as he steps over it, into my apartment.